Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Text for consideration today recorded for us in the book of John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 26. We hear Jesus speak in verse 13 and 14. Jesus said to everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. God's word is truth. Amen. She sat there on the bench overlooking Lake Mendota at the top of Observation Drive on UW-Madison campus on May 3rd. 55 degrees with a strong breeze. She was there for a long time. It isn't easy being a student among 40,000 other students at UW. It isn't easy trying to figure out life. It is easy, however, to get mixed up with the wrong bunch. It is easy to mess up. It is easy to sin. Hey, people will give you your own cheering section if you do, as they watch your life on the outside. But for Tabitha, it was a long road of many wrong decisions, dead ends, and disappointments. She was tapped out spiritually on the inside. And life, which was so filled with hope in August, was now just exhausting. So she sat there and listened to the wind and watched the little waves on University Bay. You've walked by many Tabithas in your life, and so have I. Chances are you've been in Tabitha's shoes. Our life is filled with missteps, should-haves. And if I could only go back scenarios, our lives are filled with sin. How does your story go? More importantly, how does your story end? The Samaritan woman, let's give her a name, we'll call her Miriam. Miriam was certainly in Tabitha's shoes for a long time. She was married 5 times, and all of them unfolded. And now, having given up on marriage, she just latched on to some guy for the time being. And at first, she cared that people would give her dirty looks, especially the in-laws of husband number 3. Or was it number 4? But now, she was over it. She started to remove herself from people. She started to be where no one else would be. Avoidance was key. So she goes up to the well to get water at high noon. It's too hot for anybody else. Maybe there was a bench up there. It's quite a sight to see. Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal are in the background, and the history goes back well over 1,000 years, in some instances 2. Once all Israel gathered there, and the priest of the Lord stood and proclaimed all the blessings of God from Mount Gerizim, from those who obey his word, and all the curses of God for those who disobey him from Mount Ebal. She felt closer to Mount Ebal. And Joseph, the second in command to Pharaoh in the book of Genesis, who saved his people, his tomb was over there. Jacob's well was there. I mean, that's the reason why she's there in her first place. That's the destination. It's got to be about 2,000 years old by the time she gets there. And 2, the ruins of the city of Shechem, once a capital of Israel. Hoping to contemplate the mess she was in, hoping to be there all alone and not able to, Jesus is there. And he asks for a cup of water. As if, right? I mean, the hypocrisy of it all, from her point of view. Everyone calls her unholy, unworthy, stained in her own community. Jewish people declared all Samaritans unholy, unworthy, and stained no matter what. And for this man to take a drink of water from her cup, that would have meant that he would have been declared unclean because he took a drink of water for a foreigner. This is not what she wanted. Who wants to be judged by someone who doesn't even know you? And she calls him on it. How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink of water from me, a woman of Samaria? And Jesus responds, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that you are saying, and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink. You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Jesus doesn't talk about earning a reward from God that is Mount Gerizim-minded. And Jesus doesn't talk about earning the curses of Mount Ebal either. He talks about the gift of God, and her bitterness melts as her curiosity grew. And he talks about living water, and those who drink it will never be thirsty again. Oh, she knows what it means to be thirsty. Thirsty for sin. For this man and that man and his brother. Thirsty for love, of being wanted, but never finding it. Thirsty for filling a hole in her heart that only God could fill, but she tried to fill it with the things of this world and found that none would do. And Mount Ebal was so imposing, and she felt cursed because of her sin, and there was no way out. Cursed was her lot in life, and she owned it. The gift of God? Tell me more. And Jesus does. I wish we had all the words. And he says, go call her husband. He says to her, go call your husband and come back. And that Jesus will give this gift of living water bubbling up to eternal life. You see, even now her sin is confronted by Jesus as the gospel is staring at her. Miriam of the past, Tabitha on the 3rd of May, and you this very day. Jesus confronts us in our sin, doesn't he? Jesus calls it out by name in a way the preacher before you never could. And let your conscience speak. Let Jesus confront you in your sin. And as you read the word, and Mount Ebal speaks, confess your sins to Jesus. And there is no reason to hold on to those sins anymore. There is no reason to continue in them anymore. Stop being thirsty for sin. Be filled with the living water. It is the gift of God, and only Jesus can bring it. Jesus wipes away the tears. Jesus wipes away the sin. Doesn't Jesus drink from her cup because Jesus has made her clean? I think so. Unworthy, unholy, and stained by sin, no more. Jesus does the same for you and me. He drinks down the cup of suffering, of sin, of death on Mount Calvary. He thirsts while on the cross. He drinks the vinegar of our sin, so to speak, doesn't he? When he dies to pay the curse spoken from Mount Ebal, he rises victoriously to become the spring of living water welling up to eternal life for those who believe in him as their Savior. She wants to believe. Yet Miriam throws in the whatever clause, because the message of salvation as a free gift from God is too good to be true. I know that Messiah is coming, she says. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And yes, Jesus is the Messiah. It is clear the gift of God is his righteousness given to you by faith. He gives you the living water. You are saved. Believe it. And worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Forsake sin and the magnetism to destruction that lives within us. And worship Jesus as the one who brings us righteousness, for by him we are saved, and in no other way. And let that be the reason why we gather here in the house of the Lord, to proclaim ourselves sinners, who by the grace of God are forgiven and restored to a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. Tabitha wanted answers that day. The wind and waves didn't give her any answers. But she downloaded the YouVersion Bible app. She started to read the book of John and kept on scrolling. Having come to this section of Scripture, she read it and understood it completely. A friend then invited her to chapel, and there she heard more about Jesus, the living water. Life changed because of the Holy Spirit working through the Word. The Messiah meets you here in the Bible. And Jesus connects, meets us where we are, and brings us to salvation through his righteousness. That is Miriam's story. That is Tabitha's story. And it touches on our own story as well. Where will Jesus find you? And when he does, let him bring you to the living waters. Amen. And now may the grace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.